Kim Jong-un has now officially been hailed as the new leader of North Korea, following the death of his father, Kim Jong-il, who died of a heart attack, or, if you believe the North Korean media, from physical and mental overwork. Little is known about the new leader. News reports can't even tell us his age with certainty. The Guardian reported this morning that he's thought to be 28. But one thing that is clear is that there's widespread cynicism of his capacity to be a leader. It's no small thing when you're talking about a Stalinist state with nuclear weapons. Naturally, then, speculation and fear is rife about the kind of North Korea that Kim Jong-un will lead. Will he be like his father, who presided over a famine that killed hundreds of thousands of North Koreans? Or will he keep his nuclear missiles aimed at Japan and South Korea? Whatever the case, South Korean troops have been placed on high alert to prepare for any military tension that might arise. Michael Breen is a North Korea specialist. He's a former correspondent for The Washington Times and The Guardian, and now runs his own PR company, and he joins me now from Seoul. Michael Breen, thanks for joining us.
Hey, welcome, Wally.
Now, as I understand it, you are one of the few reporters to have met Kim Jong-il and shaken his hand. What are your impressions of him?
Actually, I shook the hand of his father.
Oh, wow, that's even bigger.
The closest I got to him himself was a basket of fruit that he sent me in the hotel, but he never appeared himself.
Right, I understand.
As with all the North Korean the North Korean leaders, I mean, he was the second in 60 years. I mean, they're a mystery to their own people and a mystery to the outside world. Very little is known about their private lives. Kim Jong-il himself, his voice almost never appeared on TV or radio. So his own there's sort of a certain sort of mythical stature that they have. And I think the same will, there'll be a lot of propaganda. In fact, it's already underway to build up the new leader. Although, you know, we certainly know very little about him now. And I don't think we're going to learn a lot more in the sort of months and years ahead.
The Yonhap news agency in Seoul reported very, very quickly after the death was announced that North Korea had conducted a short-range missile test after Kim Jong-il's death.
Right.
Does that capture the fear that this event's triggering in South Korea?
Not really. I think the reaction here in Seoul is sort of anticipation, a little bit of excitement of what may come. I mean, this is certainly a big watershed moment. Whatever happens, the second only leader of the country dies. At the same time, though, I think this excitement's overridden by fear of instability. I mean, the nightmare for us in South Korea, as well as the Chinese and Japanese and the Americans, is instability spilling over the borders. But I think the missile test, I mean, either it was scheduled already, or it was sort of a finger wagging to the outside world. You know, don't get any ideas. We're not sort of collapsing here.
We haven't lost any power.
But it wasn't. There hasn't been a lot made of it here, frankly.
Okay. Kim Jong-il's death notice, the official death notice, I thought made for really interesting reading. It seemed to be at pains to stress that Kim Jong-un would do a good job. And that everything was on course, everything's going very, very well. There's a quite particular quote, Kim Jong-un's leadership provides a sure guarantee for credibility carrying to completion the revolutionary cause started by Kim Il-sung and led by Kim Jong-il to victory. Is this sort of overstating it? Does this show that perhaps the new leader is actually taking over in a weak position?
What it reinforces is the pure blood lineage is still sort of flowing. You know, we are still being led by the grandson of the perfect man. You know, the royal family. That's what they're really saying. I don't think it's sort of. I don't think there's any deeper code there. Obviously, everybody, even North Koreans, know Kim Jong-un. He's a young and inexperienced man, but they also know that he'll be surrounded by, you know, his father's people who will be making decisions for him. So in a sense, it's, you know, the prince has taken over. You know, yes, he's only in his 20s. I mean, he could have still be, could have been a teenager and still be in place. So, you know, I wouldn't read too much into that.
But does it mean he's going to have to rely on military might in order to establish his own authority, or does he just inherit that?
I think he'll inherit it. But it seems that the Koreans, sort of generally, north and south, are a very, in their sort of modern political history, a very fractious people. So in North Korea, there have always been, and there will be, there's always sort of jockeying for power and position, a lot of mistrust. And the idea, the way that his father and his grandfather ruled is by sort of presiding with a strong fist over this sort of factional squabbles and various groups jockeying for interests. So the real question for him is whether he will be able to preside over this, or whether he and the group of advisors around him will be able to preside over this in the same way as his father's done. He's obviously going to need very close backing by the military. And I think the North Korean elite right now will realize that it's in their interest to remain as united as possible.
The preservation
around
of the regime.
Yeah.
Michael, thanks so much for your time. Good to talk to you this morning.
Okay, you're welcome.
That's Michael Breen, who's a North Korea specialist and a former correspondent for The Washington Times and The Guardian.